Welcome back to Torah Imechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mrs. Michal Horowitz. Today we will continue our learning of Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet. We are up to Perek Tet Zayin. At this point in this Perek, we have come to the end of King Asa's life. And in fact, again, we're in Malchus Yehuda. At the end of this Perek, King Asa will die. So the Perek begins by telling us, Bishnash Loshim Bashesh, the Malchus Asa, Allah Basha Melch Yisrael al Yehuda, Vayivin es Harama. So now there is trouble on the border between Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael. In the 36th year of the reign of the kingdom of Asa, the enemy from Malchus Yisrael, Basha, the king of Yisrael, Malach Yisrael, Malchus Yisrael, the northern portion of the land of Israel, came up against Malchus Yehuda, who was Basha. He was a man of war who rebelled against Nadav, the son of Yeravam. You remember Yeravam ben Nevat, who took control in the days of Rechavam of Malchus Yisrael. His son was Nadav. This Basha rebelled against Nadav ben Yeravam, and Basha established his own royal dynasty in Israel, and he destroyed the entire house of Yeravam ben Nevat. When his grip on the throne, says Rabbi Dean Steindetz, became firmly established, Basha rose up from Malchus Yisrael against Malchus Yehuda, and he doesn't yet attack and go to war, but he begins to build fortifications in Ramah, like we read in the Pasuk, Vayivein es HaRamah. He begins to build up the heights and a place called Ramah. So what is Ramah? Rabbi Dean Steinzot says, Ramah is generally identified with the town of Aram, some 9 kilometers north of Jerusalem. Ramah was situated within the boundaries of the tribe of Binyamin. It overlooked an important crossroad between the central mountain route, which runs north-south between Shechem and Yerushalayim, and the east-west road that ascends from the coastal plains via Beit Horon. If you think of the map of Israel in your mind when I'm reading this to you, that makes a lot of sense. This latter road, the one that runs east-west from the coastal plains via Beit Horon, served as the border between the tribes of Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. So Basha wants to restore the border and he wants to assume control of Ramah and this road. So he builds up Ramah. Levilti teis yotzei yuval la'asa melech Yehuda. He wants to trap Asa, the king of Yehuda, if you will. He doesn't want to allow him to go and come. And he knows if he controls this road, he will control the border. So Asa's not going to take this sitting down. Pasuk beis. Vayotzei Asa kesef v'zahav me'otzro beit Hashem u'beit ha'melech. Extremely interesting. Asa goes to the treasuries, the store houses of the Beis HaMikdash and his own palace. He takes out silver and gold, and he's going to send it to an ally, Vayishlach al Ben Hadad Melech Aram HaYoshev B'dar Mesek Lamer. He sends it to Ben Hadad, the king of Aram, who is living in Damascus. And what does he say to this king? Brit Beinu Veinacho Vein Avi Vein Avicha. There is a covenant between me and between you, between my father and between your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. And what does he want the king of Aram, Ben Hadad, living in Damascus, to do? I've sent you silver and gold, so it's a payment, if you will. Go now, breach your covenant with Basha, the king of Yisrael. Remember, we're talking about the north. So you have Malchus Yehuda in the south, Malchus Yisrael in the middle, and then you have the kingdom of Aram living in Damascus above Malchus Yisrael. So Malchus Yisrael is the divider between Malchus Yehuda and this Ben Hadad, the king of Aram. So what happens? Asa asks Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, to breach his covenant with Basha of Malchus Yisrael and to attack him so he will withdraw from upon me. So he is trying to pay Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, living in Damascus, to attack Malchus Yisrael so they will go away from their southern border, which borders with the land of Malchus Yehuda. And what happens? Ben-Hadad agrees. Vayishma Ben-Hadad o'melech Asa. Apparently gold and silver hold a lot of weight. He accepted the bribe, and Ben-Hadad, the king, listens to Asa, and he sends his soldiers, Vayishalach asarei hachayalim asherlo el arei Yisrael. He sends his soldiers to the cities of Israel, Vayakuis Ion, Ves Don, Ves Eva Mayim, Ves Kol Miskunos Arei Naphtali. He attacks Malchus Yisrael on their northern border. Vayehi kishma Basha. So when Basha hears that there is activity on the northern border, remember, he's busy building up the Ramah to fortify against Malchus Yehuda on the southern border. But now he hears that there's an attack on the northern border. So when Basha hears, it reminds me of Lahavdil a little bit, but the 1973 Yom Kippur War, if you've read anything about the 1973 Yom Kippur War, Israel, unfortunately, was totally unprepared. If you want to read an unbelievable book, it's called The Eve of Destruction. I'll look it up on Amazon.com, public service announcement, The Eve of Destruction. It's absolutely incredible. I believe the author is Howard Bloom, but the title is Eve of Destruction, about the 1973 war. So Israel's busy fighting on one border, and then they hear that they have to open up another front, and they're unprepared. So clearly what happens here is that Basha is unprepared for fighting both on the southern border with Malchus Yehuda and on the northern border with Basha. So when he hears that Basha is attacking him on the northern border, Vayechta Mibnosis HaRamah, he leaves building up the fortification at Ramah, Vayashbis Es Malachto, and he ceases his work. So he clearly doesn't have the fortification and the army to both fight on the southern border with Malchus Yehuda and to fight on the northern border with Basha from Damascus. So he stops. Va'asa ha-melech la'kachas kol Yehuda, va'yisu es avnei ha-ramah, va'esei tzeha. So Asa sees an opportunity. They go into Ramah, remember, which Malchus Yisrael has just abandoned, and they take their stones, and they take their wood that Basha was using as building materials, and they build up their own cities. They build Geva, and they build up the mitzvah. That's Pasuk Vav. Rabbi Dean Steinzelt says this mitzvah, which was built up by King Asa, Malchus Yehuda, with the remains of the materials that were being used to build the Ramah. What's the mitzvah? An important city in the tribal portion of Binyamin, which has been identified with Tel Nasbeh. It's approximately 13 kilometers north of Jerusalem. This mitzvah, which Asa is now building up, overlooked the main road from Shechem and the Shamron to Yerushalayim. It served as the site for communal and national gatherings. It was an administrative center after the destruction of Bayis Rishon. Some suggest identifying this mitzvah with the site known today as Nebi Samuel. If you've ever been to Nebi Samuel, my family and I were zocha to be there in the summer of 2019. It was the last time we were zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael, the summer before the COVID pandemic, if we've ever been to Nebi Samuel. So some scholars suggest that this mitzvah, which Asa is now building up with the materials that Basha was using to build the Ramah, is associated with Nebi Samuel. Nevertheless, God is not so happy. Why not? At this time, Hanani, the one with vision, meaning the prophet Haro'eh, the one who sees with an aleph, not an ayin, al-Asa, al-Chihura, this Hanani, the Ro'eh, Hanani the visionary, Hanani the prophet, is mentioned nowhere else except for here. He comes to Asa, the king of Yehuda, and he says to him, he has a complaint, kaviyacha, from the Ribono Sha'olam. What's his complaint? You relied on the king of Aram. You did not rely on Hashem, your God. Because he should have relied on Hashem and not send gifts and empty the treasury from his palace and from the house of Hashem like he did. And you did not rely on the Lord your God. The forces of the king of Aram have fled from your hand. However, you will have to deal with, what does that mean? Says Rabbi Adin Steinzelt, you will have to deal with the Arameans from a position of inferiority. You will be inferior to them because of what you did. And the prophet, this prophet Hanani the Ro'eh, reminds him, weren't the Cushim and the Libyans who attacked you in the past, like we learned in Perek Yudalad, they were a vast force with many chariots and horsemen, but you relied on Hashem and he delivered them into your hands. Excuse me, I'm sorry. So that was an extremely great threat, much greater than the threat of Malchus Yisrael. But you defeated them, you drove them away, I'm sorry, excuse me, because you trusted in Hashem, your God, and here you did not. And now the prophet continues, Kahashem Einav Mishtetot B'chol Ha'aretz, the Lord, his eyes range throughout the entire land. Lihit Chazek Im Levavam Shalem Elav, he will strengthen the hearts of those who are pure with him. But in this you have stumbled, you have been foolish. From now on there will be wars upon you. Now Asa, who until now, like we have learned, has really been very wholehearted and listened to the prophets of Hashem, he is not happy. Vayichas Asa el Haroah. Asa becomes angry at this visionary. Vayitnehu beit hameha pechad. He puts him into prison. Rabbi Dean Steinzelt notes, it was a detention facility, either fixed or mobile, which was located in the upper gate of Binyamin. He quotes a Rav Yosef Kimchi, who explains that this was made from two pieces of wood in which a place is fashioned for the neck. The neck of prisoners were inserted there, and likewise cuffs for the hands. So this is what he does to Hanani the prophet. He is not happy. He is angry. He does not want to hear the rebuke of God. I found it interesting that it's not called Beit HaSohar. It's called Beit HaMehapechet. It's the house of one who is overturned, v'nahafachu, to be overturned. So I think that that's interesting because perhaps it teaches us that in a prison, a person's fortune and destiny becomes overturned, Rachmana Litzan. He goes from being a free person to being a prisoner. And that is really the overturning of one's fortune or destiny or fate, if you will. And here it is called Beit HaMehapechet, Ki Bezaaf Imozo, because Asa is very angry at the prophet. He does not want to hear any rebuke from God. And at this time, he afflicted and oppressed Vayir Ratzeitz Asa Mina'am Ba'isa. He starts to oppress portions of the people. And now we come to the end of his life. So we see at the end of his life, he is not listening to the Nevi'im. V'hinei divrei Asa HaRishoni V'achronim Hinam Kesuvim Al Sefer HaMalachim. If you want to know more about Asa's reign, the beginning and the end, it is written in the book of Kings for Yehuda and Yisrael. Three more psukim in this parak. And it was, now Asa becomes sick. Vayachala, like choli, the root word here is chole. And Asa becomes sick in the 39th year of his reign. He contracted an element, biraglav, ad lamala chaliyo. His ailment grew acute from his legs, and Rabbi Adin Steinzelt identifies this. The sages say, quoting Masechta Sota, he has a disease called padagra. It affects the feet and causes great pain. It is gout, an incurable disease, and it results in acid crystals, Rabbi Steinzelt writes, accumulating in various joints in the body, particularly in the toes, sometimes the kidney. It causes inflammation, swelling, and severe pain. So Asa becomes sick at the end of his rule, and even in his sickness, the pasuk tells us, Lo darash es Hashem ki im berofim. He never again seeks out God. He's sick, but instead of davening to Hashem, he puts all his trust in doctors. Now, of course, we have to trust in our doctors. We have to do our hishtadlus v'rapo yirape pashas mishpatim mikan yesh v'shus the rofe the rape. Hashem gave the doctor permission to heal, but we know that there is one rofe chol. While we do our hishtadlus, and we should and must go to doctors and seek medical attention and advice when necessary, ultimately our trust is in Hashem and the koach of tefillah, because Hashem is the rofei cholim. And here the pasuk tells us that he did not seek out God, he doesn't pray to Hashem, only in doctors, and now he dies. Vayishkav Asa im avosav, Asa lay with his fathers, metaphor for death, vayamas, and he died b'shnat arba'im v'achat l'malcho. He died in the 41st year of his reign. So we see that Asa ruled for many years. He too was buried in Ir Daviv. But interestingly, we are told information that we were not told about his ancestors. And he is laid down in the bed that he prepared for himself. Asher milei besamim uzinim mirukachim b'merkachas k'maisa. He is laid in a bed filled with spices and blends of spices, the work of a craftsman who mixes perfumes. Vayisrufu lo sreifa gadola ad ma'od. And they burn for him, a very big burning, very much. Does this mean that he was cremated? No, not at all. Rabbi Adin Steinzelt writes, one of the rites connected to the burial of kings included a burning ritual for a ruler who died peacefully in his bed. It involves burning some of the king's property, so cannot be used by anyone else. It is performed in honor of the deceased and to lament his passing. So it doesn't mean that he was cremated, rather some of his property was burned. Perhaps also I was thinking that this incense spices and these perfumes were burned upon his death in the bed that he was, or next to the bed that he lay down in. Interestingly, Rabbi Dean Steinzelt notes, in archaeological excavations of Tumali, ancient burial mounds, southwest of Jerusalem, remnants of such conflagrations were discovered, which some suggest are from these royal ceremonies. And now Asa has died, and we will continue tomorrow. Thank you for studying together with me, Lilui Nishma, Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef, Allah HaShalom. I wish you a wonderful day, and I look forward to learning with you tomorrow. Kol Tuv to all.